Incomings and outgoings are plenty at Turf Moor as Vincent Company's new look Burnley is shaping up. This is the No Nay Never podcast. No Nay Never podcast. So, hello everybody. This is the first No Nay Never podcast of the season. So, I'm Richard Steele. I'm looking forward to getting back into it, really. Tonight we've got George Poole and Tom Whittaker with me. How are we, gents?
Evening, Rich. Yeah, not so bad. Are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Enjoying the summer holidays. I've had a week off now, so nice and relaxing. And yourself, George?
Yeah, not too bad. Just trying to survive work in this heat at the moment, but luckily it's cooled down and looking forward to the weekend now.
Oh, yeah, Monday and Tuesday were a challenge, weren't they? I had to look after the pug, which wasn't easy in this weather. Just kept going outside and spraying him with the hose pipe, which he didn't enjoy. But yeah, he managed to get through it. And it's obviously a long time. You know, it seems like forever since that Newcastle game. There's been, you know, a lot of changes. And, you know, when we're just kind of going to go through the, you know, the incomings, the outgoings tonight, and where we think, you know, what kind of shape that we're in. Because I know there's a lot of different opinions at the moment on our transfer business and the effectiveness of it, and, you know, and where we'll come to the start of the season. So, Tom, I'll come to you first. I'm just going to, before I really go into kind of like identifying individual players, so far, I'm going to do it on a rating, and I'll do the same for George. So far, obviously we've got about 5 weeks to go, what would you give our transfer market so far on incomings and outgoings?
Maybe a 6.5, something like that. I don't think it's been like a disaster. I think some of the players we've signed look quite promising. You can see there's obviously a big idea to radically shift the transfer business. You know, under Dyche, it wasn't, especially the last few years, we weren't buying players that had much sell-on value. We weren't making a profit on many players. You know, you see we sold Tarkowski and... Tarkowski's left, but we sold Pope. But these are players that were brought in years ago, and it's only really Collins that we've brought with an eye to making some money. And obviously, that's since Pace took over as well. So we're moving in that direction. I think it's a sensible model for a Championship club. And the worry for me is where it leaves us for this season. So obviously, the longer you spend out of the Premier League, the more difficult it is to get back up. And what worries me at the minute is I think a lot of the transfer business has got an eye on the future. That's good. A lot of the noises out of the club are saying, you know, we're not desperate to get up this season. If it doesn't happen this season, there's next season. But I think if you're being realistic, if we don't go up this season, it's more difficult next season. And if we don't go up next season, it's more difficult the season after that. So for me, I think to bump it up, I'd like to see is bring in a bit more experience, but not necessarily, it doesn't have to be experience with the division, but players who are a bit more capable of stepping into sort of a leadership role. I think we've maybe got a little bit of a void with that at the minute. So I'd like to see something along those lines. I'm not calling it a success or a failure yet. There's a fair bit to go. I think there's another 4 or 5 weeks of the window. So I think we played four or five games before the window shuts. So I'm not panicking just yet. It sounds like we're doing a lot of business. We've got a lot of irons in the fire. So I'm sure that the positions that we still need to fill will be filled between now and the end of the month, the end of August, sorry. But at the minute, I can't grade it too highly because I don't think it's necessarily set us up for a promotion-winning campaign just yet.
Yeah, interesting point, Sir Tom. I can tell you've been thinking about that for a long time, in that view. It's supposed to be a little short one here just to get into it. But I agree with a lot of the points Tom said there, which I will come on to shortly. But George, by the way, has had, funnily enough, George had a bit of a meltdown yesterday in our WhatsApp group. And considering it wasn't 37 degrees yesterday, that's quite ironic with the McNeil news, which, again, is a player that polarises opinion. But, George, yourself, give it a rating so far.
Yeah, I think for me, I'd probably say a 7 or 8 out of 10. Like, I think it's been successful. And as Tom said, we're clearly going for a big refresh. But I think it's hard to call a window a really good window when you've let Tarkowski go for free, you've let Ben Mee go for free, you've let Nick Pope go for what, 10 million, and you've let Nathan Collins go as well. So that's three massive centre backs for us. So I think it's tough to say, it's been a brilliant window. That being said, going through a big refresh, that was needed. We brought down the average age of the squad. Tumbling, I'd suggest. But I'm the same as Tom. I think if you were to look at, if you had the opportunity to look at the wider picture and you think, brilliant, it's bringing the squad age down, it's building a squad for the future, then you think, great. But at the same time, we've been relegated. We should be aiming to go to go back up. And if you don't go up within 2 years, you're struggling. And I think we're just veering towards too much change for our own good. That's my concern.
I think they're not going up in next season. It's a really difficult one. Like, I agree with what you're saying in some ways, Tom, that companies like, well, you know, if we don't go up this season, there's next season. But what's company going to come out and say? Or we've got to get promoted this season, or if we don't get promoted, it's the end of the world. I think there's a bit, you know, you've got to have that balance and that perspective a little bit. Company said himself he's in it for the long haul, which, listen, realistically, if company does 2 years and doesn't get us up but plays nice football, he's going to move on just because of his name and what he can attract. That's kind of my view on it as well. There's part to me, I'm very 50-50 at the moment with what to expect. I'm quite excited about some of the players that we're going to bring in, which I'm going to go through. But at the same time, I agree with Tom. We massively need some experience, and that brings me into the back. We've not signed a goalie yet. It was reported we were going to bring Bart Verbruggen in from Belgium. I don't know how my pronunciation was. My Flemish isn't one of my favourite languages to speak. But that deal appears to have fallen through, as does the Callum O'Hur deal, which I wasn't that bothered about signing O'Hur, to be honest. But Coventry fans recently have just like kind of been really salty. And the Coventry's biggest achievement in the last 25 years has been to play at St Andrews. So I'm not quite sure what they're boasting about. But anyway, so George, we'll go defensively first. I'll stick with you because me and you had a little bit of a disagreement with this because we was linked with another centre-half today. I personally think it's imperative that we get another experienced centre-half. But you don't seem to think that way, do you, George?
No. I think if I was to look at it with my claret tinted glasses and with an optimistic mind, I think we've done really good business this summer. We brought in Taylor Harwood-Bellis. I know a couple of these are loan players, but Taylor Harwood-Bellis, now he's played pretty much as many championship games as Nathan Collins had played.
Don't say that. It's irrelevant. Well, completely not relevant.
I'm not saying this is good a player, but I'm saying he's played as many games. So if you're going down the experience line, he's as experienced.
Yeah, but Mane played as many games as Frank Lampard probably in his career.
Lampard wasn't half the player that Dean Mane was. So, I know it's not everything.
I get where you're coming from, George, but I don't like that comparison. I think it's like saying a crocodile walks
missing nuance,
and so does a cow. There's no relevance at all.
It's missing nuance, but at the end of the day, whether he's as good a player as Collins or not, Collins was too good for the championship. We've got to be realistic here. Collins was too good for the championship. Whereas Harwood-Bellis has played these 70-odd games at championship level. He's a very good player and he will undoubtedly start for us. Now, if I'm looking at the rest of them...
No, I do agree, George, Harwood-Bellis. I'm just kind of playing games a little bit. Well, it's pop back.
Yeah, that's good. But, you know, I think if we'd have looked in an ideal world, we'd have said, right, Collins stays and then we bring in a centre-back to play alongside him. I know it's missing nuance, but Harwood-Bellis slots in instead of Collins and we're bringing in a new centre-back to play alongside him. Look, I'm relying on them gelling. My worry is actually the opposite of yours. You want an experienced guy in, whereas I'm just feeling like, I was really excited to bring in CJ Egan Riley and Luke McNally, and I was really excited to see how they'll do. And then on top of that, companies like sung the praise of Bobby Thomas this summer. But if we do bring in another centre-back, these three lads just aren't going to get the game time. And for me, that's a real shame.
I think it's one of them, like you say it's a real shame, but I said yesterday, it's not a year six sport. It's about giving lads chances. They've got to be good enough. And like this, like you said, we're all us three are sitting here. I'm going to come on to a player in a minute. The only player who I've seen consistently play who we've signed is Scott Twine. The rest of them, I've got no idea how good they're going to be, and neither do all of us. And that's why it is a risk. I just think in that centre-back so crucial. We've lost basically the three players that got us a lot of points over the last few years. And I think just having an experienced head wouldn't do these young lads any harm. Just same question to you, Tom, really. to see what your view on it, because that is because the kind of the goalkeeper and the defence, especially the central of defence, will be the most radical shift, I feel.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there when you say that's been the foundation of our success in the last few years. You know, the best players last season were the centre-halves and the keeper. And they're going to be the big misses. You know, we didn't have a lot of goals in the team last year. It's not as if we had any decent players to lose from the centre-forward position. It's a big shift to lose all of those players so quickly. I think it would have been ideal if we'd have signed Ben Mee on for another year or two. I think that would have been perfect just to bring those lads through a bit. I get what George is saying about bringing young lads in and not playing them. But, I mean, if you look at, you know, when we came down last time, it was Ben Mee and Michael Keane playing. They brought Tarkowski in straight away. But you don't have to go into the team straight away. You know, it took him probably 18 months before we sold Keane, and he was playing every week. But he had that 18 months to learn, you know. So I think, you know, I'm comfortable that Egan, Riley and McNally will, if they're not starting every week, they'll be in that position. Maybe Thomas needs a better loan, maybe a League One loan or something for a season just to get regular football. But he does look a good prospect. I think you're both right. I think Harwood Bellis will be the starter. And it'll be interesting to see if he does decide to play alongside him. I think the keeper is going to be a big sign-in. Personally, I don't think Peacock Farrell is good enough from what I've seen. I know he's not played that many games, but I think when he has played for us, he's not impressed me. I think
it's flappy, isn't he?
It's a funny one because technically he always looks really good, but he just looks like he's devoid of confidence whenever I see him. So I just think he's always got a mistake in him, and then when he makes a mistake, he'll make two. So I just wouldn't be confident with him in for 46 games. I think it seems like company wants another keeper, doesn't it? That's why we've been for this.
That's another one. Like, if this Verbruggen did come in, would have he been number one anyway? And would they look to sign another goalie? That's a, you know, it's a really hard one. What I will say about these defenders is they're all really, me and Tom's had a laugh about it. You know, they are highly rated, and I've not seen one person say, I don't know why you've signed him. So that's a positive. Go on, George. I know you put your hand up, mate.
Well, I was going to come in on the keeper thing and just say, I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that company does not think that the keepers we have now and, you know, that Bailey Peacock Farrell is going to be his number one. And I think if he's already decided that off 2 months training, I think it paints a picture that he's not going to be our keeper for this season, which is why I'm just a bit gutted that we've wasted all this time on Verbruggen, and obviously now it's fallen through. But like you say then, Rich, I know we have a little back and forth in our group chat saying, you know, oh yeah, but who are they highly rated by? But when you actually look at it, Ian Martson, obviously the left back we brought in, he's just played a season at championship level and impressed. He's played a full season at championship level. And then you say you've been watching Scott Twine, who we'll talk about later, and he's done really well in League One. Well, Luke McNally's just played a full season in League One for Oxford, and again, really impressed. So, you know, there is stuff to back up that these players are impressing, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. But yeah, we do need.
Like I mentioned, George, it's not like I don't think the good signings are, you know, they may come in and do excellently. It's just, I just feel personally in that position, it's good to have an experience, you know, even like Duff played the first 6 months of that season. And, you know, we've been talking about, Keane and me, but they still had Eaton behind them, who was such an experienced player and captain. It's just, I look at our team and I am excited. It's just that defensive unit, you know, Roberts and Taylor, they're not the best positionally either, but I think them two will do really well in the championship. And if Taylor does move on, I think Mattson's a very exciting player too. Like I said, had a great season on loan at Coventry by all accounts. But yeah, go on, Tom.
Yeah, just another thing about the centre-halves, obviously, and the keeper as well, probably eventually when we do sign one. Obviously, Ben Mee, Nick Pope, famously not very good with the ball at their feet. You know, we're always talking on this podcast about, you know, the England manager is a bit more bothered about whether the keeper can pass the ball, you know, rather than keep it out of the net. Now, I mean, I went to the Shrewsbury friendly last week. There was a lot of, you know, the centre, I was passing it sideways, the Eddie Howe kind of football. And I think it's fairly obvious that company wants the centre halves to be able to do that as well. So, you know, if you are bringing in loads of players in that position that the manager wants and that are going to adapt quicker to the manager's style, that could be beneficial. You know, if we'd had a season of Nick Pope and Ben Mee and they're trying to learn how to play out from the back.
That'd be frightening, wouldn't it, with Pope?
Well, that's it, yeah. So if they get if they've got a back line that can play that kind of football, you know, you could argue, you know, we had a back, two centre halves and a keeper before that were set up for playing Sean Dyche football. So if we've got a keeper and two centre halves that are set up for playing Vincent Kompany's football, then that might benefit us as well. So it's not all bad that we've had such a massive turnover of players, particularly in that position.
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, well, I'm going to come on to the style of play a little bit later. And, you know, when you've seen that McNally, you can obviously carry the ball out of defence. And Egan Riley started in a Champions League game last season that I actually went to and I completely forgot he was playing. So I can't even have any reference to if he was any good or not. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I think he was playing right back. But like I said, I'm excited by these signings. It's just from maybe a personal point, I'd just like to see a bit of an experienced player, slot into that position. But again, we shall see. It's going to be really interesting because I really don't know who's going to partner Harwood Bellis in that first game at Huddersfield. So moving further forward up the pitch, into midfield. Now, that's been the biggest turnaround and the turnaround that I'm the most excited by. I think everybody will agree, if you've got half a brain on football, that midfield was our weak point last year, especially the central midfield, and there was other factors around that. But I think we've made some absolutely brilliant signings in that area. And I think all of those three lads that we have signed will make a big difference. Obviously, Cullen's come in, very, very, good career so far, and especially at Belgium. And I was at a wedding in Ireland, actually, at the weekend, and a lot of the Irish lads who watched the footy can't believe he's not gone to a Prem club. And I think he'd be one of the first names on the team sheet. Obviously, Bastian, again, none of us know nothing about, really. Come with a big reputation. West Ham had a big bid turned down for him. I think it was 11 million and Liège wanted 18. So I know he's had a couple of injuries, but I think George has said he's really excited about him in particular. And obviously, Scott Twine, I'm going to say a few words on shortly. And I think put that into the mix with Brownhill, Cork, who I think is a big one signing the contract. Obviously, McNeil, will he stay or will he not stay? So, Tom, I'll stick with you on this one. What's your thoughts on the midfield additions?
Yeah, I think, like you said, the biggest surprise was what we've done in midfield. Probably the fact that we've actually bought a midfielder is a good opening sign after the last couple of seasons. So that was encouraging. I think, again, similar to what I was saying about the centre-halves, I think Cullen especially is the epitome of like what Kompany wants to do. You saw even in that friendly, he was coming. As soon as the keeper got the ball, he's dropping deep. The full-backs are pushing up. Cullen's dropping to the edge of the box and he's linking the play with the centre-halves. It's obviously a job that he's comfortable with. He knows the system that Kompany wants to play. So it's a no-brainer. And like you say, he's got a good reputation. He didn't cost a lot of money. So happy with that addition. Be interesting to see what he's like. I think we've lacked that for the last few years, like as someone who can just sit deep and just dictate the tempo, dictate the play a little bit. So that's good. Bastian, same as you, don't know a lot about him, but he seems to be a very engaging chap on social media. So we've got another one to go with Corney, so that's nice. And it's technically looked decent in the friendly that I saw. Took his goal really well, so that's promising. Sometimes it's quite nice when you get a signing in that you don't really know anything about. It's like, I remember when we used to get like Drissa Diallo and Arthur Nahari, and when it was a bit more rare to just get the odd foreign player over, and it was like, that's how you get caught heroes, isn't it? Just people like that. So I like that signing from that point of view. Not a particularly technical or insightful viewpoint, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. And then Twine, I know you want to talk a bit about him. You mentioned that you'd seen Egan Riley. I saw Twine last year play for Milton Keynes at Burton Albion, and he was the best player on the pitch. And Milton Keynes won 1-0, and he picked the ball up on the edge of the box 20 yards out and just curled it right in the top corner. And I thought, he looks decent. And it sounds like as well there was quite a few in for him. So I think it reflects well that we were able to convince him to come. And again, that's a player we've cried out for. We've been playing people like Hendrick and Brownhill in that number 10 role, and they're not players that are set up for that, in my opinion. Yeah. So it's encouraging to have not just more bodies in the midfield, but I think we've got more tactical options there as well, and that was really something that we struggled with in the last couple of years. So I think you're right. Again, good business, like decent fees you paid for these players as well. So I think you're right, and that is the most encouraging bit of the window so far.
Definitely, and I think that's a really good point you made there. It's kind of shoehorning players into positions that they're not comfortable with. And, Brownhill, who I think could be excellent next season, You know, I do. There's still that big gap, isn't there, between the Premier League and Championship. And I think Browner was someone who was really improving towards the back end of last year and did start to look more comfortable on the ball. And it's really interesting. You mentioned Hendrick there, innit? And he's gone to Reading, maybe found his level a little bit. Hendrick, never my cup of tea. But George, we asked this question in the group the other day. So it's a real difficult one to include or exclude Carney from this, whether he's going to start or not against Huddersfield. Even if he's here, will he still start? Will he want to protect him? It looks like he's going to play the diamond, which is quite interesting, a formation I don't think I've seen since the Sven-Goran Eriksson days with England. But George, what's your starting four then in that midfield?
Yeah, it's going to be really weird, isn't it? Because when Kompany was brought in, I had expectations that he's going to play a 4-4-2. Obviously a bit slightly different, but it seems as though we're going to play a 4-2-2-2, which is
the Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's too much of a mouthful. That's why I don't like. It's too much of a mouthful. They need to come up with a better name for it. But we're going to play a 4-2-2-2. I might have done one too many twos there. But so there's going to be four centre mids essentially playing in that midfield, which obviously is really promising because, like Tom, I echo Tom's thoughts really. The midfield is like brought in. Really exciting. I know we've talked about the inexperience of the back line and the keeper, and even if you do bring in a 26-year-old centre-back, it's still going to be a guy who's new to the club. But I think in Cullen, you get that sort of continuity in a sense, in that he's played under Kompany before. He's the guy who's dropping deep and sitting alongside the defence when the wing-backs are going forward. So he offers you a really good bit of continuity, I feel, and I think he'll be able to get the other midfielders up to speed with Kompany's system quicker than we would do if it was just everyone new to the system. To your question, which I've been really nicely circling around. Cullen, I think, like I say, has got to play. He'll be the guy who'll be sitting there. I think Bastian's... I completely admit I'm seeing this just off the one goal I've seen him score for us. He just looks a class player. He looks tidy. He looks like he's got a cracking left boot on him. He just seems like a breath of fresh air around the club. So I'd like to see Bastian and Cullenbo playing. But then Jack Cork, I think, from what we're looking like, it looks like he's going to take the armband this season. And in all the behind-the-scenes stuff we've seen, Cork's at the centre of everything. In training...
And he does give you that experience, doesn't he, then? In totally. That middle of the pitch, yeah.
It's him talking on the pitch in training. It's talking to the fans. Everything is revolving around him. And I think he will offer that. He's the guy in midfield who's... I mean, you just saw how we made us tip last season. So I think you're definitely going to have Cullen, Bastian and Cork. And then it's just one of many attacking midfielders we've got there up front. Just behind the strikers. You'd like to think it'd be Twine, but I think he's carrying a niggle. He's not been shown that much in the videos and stuff. Twine or Brownell. And Brownell got three assists at Shrewsbury. So either of them, absolutely fine by me.
So where does McNeil play?
Oh, God, you had to say that, didn't you? Oh, I think it's either McNeil, Twine or Brownell then. And I expect Cornet to go.
So would you, I think Twine will play behind Rodriguez or Barnes.
Yes. So, see, I agree actually. You've twisted my arm there, Rich. I agree. I think he's gonna play as one of them front two. And people say, oh, he's not a striker. Yeah, but he'll just drop off.
Yeah, it's a really hard one, you know. Going back to Twine and what Tom said, he's the signing out. I think Cullen's the crucial signing, almost the most important one that'll knit everything together. But as soon, you know, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the podcast. I remember, because people who listen to the podcast know I'm from Wigan. So I went to my mate's house when it was kind of just coming out of COVID, when it was Project Restart. And Wigan played Swindon and I watched a game with him on telly. And within about 10 minutes, I said, who's this idea for Swindon? And it was Scott Twine. And I thought, God, he's got some talent. And then just for whatever reason, I just, similar to Tom, maybe just stuck a few MK Dons games on just because I really like watching him play. And I think this young Matt, I don't want to big him up too much because I could look like an idiot here. I really, you know, when you see a player come up from League One like Madison did in Dele Alli, I think this lad's got a real big ceiling to him. You know, I don't know, I'm not going to say he's going to play for England or you know, whatever, but I think he's going to be someone that's really exciting. And as Tom said at Burton last year, He can score unbelievable goals. And I don't know, it's a difficult one because it's obviously going to be more physical in the Championship, a little bit quicker, but it's one I'm really excited about. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to him play. But I think he'll play number 10. And then, yeah, that midfield's really difficult. You would have to think Carl can, if he's playing the 2-2, say the 2-2-2 or the diamond, you think Carl can, Cullen, Brownhill, you think Cullen, Cork, and probably McNeil would start. So he's probably one of Brownhill and Bastion to lose out. And I think Bastion will be on the bench, to be honest. But we shall see. Go on, George.
Yeah, not to sound too bitter about the whole O'Hare situation breaking down, which we'll obviously talk about. But the thing that Scott Twine's got to his game is he scores goals. Yes. He can play as part of the front two, whether it be dropping deep in a 10. O'Hare does not score goals. He would have to play in a really part of that midfield. And you know what? If we're keeping McNeil or Corney, either of them, I think you're just getting a few too many names once in one position then. So yeah. I'd love to see either McNeil or Corney stay. And I think Twine's just got that extra edge to his game to play up front with one of the experienced lads.
Well, to be fair to O'Hare, he can't really score kicking into rugby poles, can he, at the recall for London Wasps. So he's struggling a little bit there. I'm going to get some stick if I get listening. There's any Coventry fans. I'm only joking, Coventry. I never heard of you for the last 10 years, to be honest. So, and coming on, you know, then the last one, strikers, no one up front concerning for me again. I still think if you've got all their midfielders, you've still got someone to put the ball in the net. George, are you going to say your claim that you made in our WhatsApp group?
Yeah, Martin absolutely.
On the No Name Ever podcast.
Look, I'll say it and I'll back it up. I think Jay Rodriguez is going to score over 15 goals this season. He scored 22.
In training?
No. In the league. I'm not even counting cup competitions here. He scored 22 goals last time he was in the Championship in the 18-19 season. He's got absolutely no attributes, which he's losing with age. He's not got any pace since he had two big injuries. And he's as physical as ever. He's as good in the air as ever. I think he'll really prosper under a company system which suits him down to the ground. Rodriguez's big thing, which puts him on another level to the likes of Barnes, is with his feet. He's very good technically. And that's what got him to an England cap, you know what I mean? And he's still got those skills, and I think it'll suit him. And I think him and Twine up front will be our starting pair, and I'm absolutely fine with that. But I do think we need another striker because it looks as though Vidra's not going to stay, possibly. Or/slash not be ready for a while.
Yeah. Listen, it's a hard one to call on, Jay. I'm a massive fan of his. You know, and the gap from the Championship to the Premier League is massive. But when you get to Jay's age, 2 years is a long time. It's not like he's gone from being 22 to 24. I imagine he's early 30s now. So, but I still think he'll be a really big player for us, Jay. And I think it's, and again, being Burnley born and bred, a leader, I think it's really good to have him in the dressing room. Again, Tom, same with you on strikers.
Yeah, it worries me a bit, to be honest, centre forward position. I think Barnes and Rodriguez are not players they were. I know, obviously, we're dropping down a division, so you'd expect them to chip in with more than the two or three they have been doing in the last couple of seasons. But, you know, I think we need, you look at the last two seasons, when it was Gray there and then Ings before that. Mm-hmm. I think we need someone who's going to put 20-odd goals in, I think, if we want to be looking at top six.
Scott Twine, it's a bit of a funny
one. Well, I don't know.
I know, because it's a different formation, isn't it? So you just don't know. Like, you'd expect, if he's playing something similar to City-ish, I'm not saying City because it's a big claim, you maybe don't need a 20-goal-a-season strike. Well, you obviously do sometimes. It's a real hard one, isn't it, Tom? Yeah.
The thing with City, I know they've got goals. I mean, they haven't got they didn't last season have a 20-goal season, man, but they had, you know, four, five, six midfielders getting 10+. Our midfield, Twine will get goals. Don't know about Bastien, to be fair. Brownhill, I can't see him getting 10 goals. Cork, you know, be lucky if he gets over the halfway line 10 times. And yeah, the same for Cullen. Yeah. So, yeah, we haven't got goals in the midfield. So we're going to need them from somewhere. And that's the thing. When I look at the team at the minute, I don't see goals. He obviously wanted that lad who went to Besiktas, what was his name? Jackson Maleke.
Yeah.
But they're obviously in the market for a centre forward. But I haven't really had any links since he left. So apart from Dilap at Man City, maybe he'd be good. But you're asking a lot of young lad who's not really played a lot of football to come in and spearhead your way to a promotion. So that does concern me a bit. And I think, like George said, even if Vidra's signs up for another year or two, you're not going to get anything out of him really until Christmas. So
at the least, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we need something there, and I think that's another position where I'd rather we didn't sign a young lad. I'd like someone with a bit of pedigree there, to be honest. So
the issue is you're saying a bit of pedigree, and you're absolutely spot on. I think when we signed Gray, it was an obvious signing of someone who'd done well the previous year. I don't see really anybody in the Championship who's kind of really like standing out to me, or in the lower leagues as kind of, obviously Twine was the standout player in League One. It was obvious.
What about but he, maybe, like you said, sorry, I was going to say, obviously we've been linked with O'Hare, but the lad, Jokeresh, I think he got 18 last year, didn't he, for Coventry?
Yeah,
he's the same kind of profile as Gray was.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I know loads about, like, you know, that Coventry are on the telly twice a year or whatever. I won't pretend that I know a lot about their players, but that just when you said, oh, you know, that kind of profile, that's the one that jumped out at me. So yeah, someone from a sort of middling sort of Championship team who knocks a few in. Maybe someone like, what's that Chilean fella's name at Blackburn? He had a good season.
yeah, can't remember him. Like, there's a lad at Wigan called Callum Lang who's an excellent finisher. Reminds me a little bit of Danny Ings when I've watched him. But again, it's a big step up. There was Archer who was on loan at Preston, who seemed very good, and Preston fans rated him. But again, it's kind of like, the lad's obviously got big pedigree, hasn't he? You know, listen, he's obviously going to be a good player, but it's still a big ask for these young players. And that's kind of what we go back to, the defence. You know, you're getting these young lads in and they could be outstanding, but you just don't know because they're a bit unproven. So that's our incomings. I think we're going to be very busy. I still think we'll get 4 or 5 more players in. You know, we've still got, and all that Huddersfield game's close and you can start panicking, but I look at a lot of teams in the division and, you know, Blackburn's only signed one player. Huddersfield's just lost their two best players and they've not replaced them, and they've not replaced the manager. I think that's what's really unique about this season, is that you're so far away from the transfer window, but you've got so many games. So, and I wouldn't panic too much, kind of, if we've not, even if Peacock Farrell starts against Huddersfield, but we shall see. Right, outgoings. So I've seen a really interesting starting on that starting 11 last season. There was only eight out of the 11 players are still at the club, and it's only me, Tarky, and Pope who's actually gone from that starting 11, which is actually really interesting. And I think a lot of the outgoings me didn't actually start, did he? So it's Collins. So for me, there's, you know, the four outgoings I'm really bothered about are Pope, Tarky, me, and Collins. We will come to Collins first. Tom, I will come to you. That is a deal I'm still incredibly disappointed with. I think 20 million, you know, seems on the surface quite a lot for a player of his age who's played that games, but it's not enough, is it, for what he's going to be capable of in his career?
Yeah, I think most Burnley fans would have said the same. You know, he's got 3 years on his contract, so it's not as if we were, you know, he was going for nothing next season or something like that. I think with his age, you know, he's got a lot of football in front of him. You know, you would have liked to have thought we could have said to him, you know, give us a year and then we'll see. You know, it's not, like I say, it's not like he's 32, he's 21, 22, whatever. So it's not like he's in a desperate rush necessarily to get back to the Prem. So with all that, you'd think we could maybe, you know, have held out for a bit more. I mean, in some ways, it's good. It's double the money. It's money that we're obviously needed. And I think we have put ourselves in a bad position in terms of selling in this window, because we wrote in the accounts at the end of last season that if we go down, we're going to need to sell players. So when clubs are coming to sniff around your players, they know the financial reality is that you want to get at least 2 or 3 of them off the books. And, you know, it seems like we're not desperate to hang on to Corne really as well. And there's obviously the release clause plays into that. But it does seem like we wanted to sell 2 or 3. So that factors into it as well. I think we've got a quick sale and things like that. And we know that he's good enough to play in the Prem. I think he proved it last season. And I'm not surprised that Premier League clubs wanted him. And I'm not surprised that, you know, that he wanted to go. So, yeah, for me, I would have liked to have said 25, 30 million would have been a better price. But it's not as if he's gone on a free. You know, that's a lot of money in the Championship. And you see what we've spent so far with the 7 or 8 players we've brought in or whatever it is, you know, we've only used the Nick Pope money for that, really. So you'd like to think that maybe if we do get more of a marquee signing, that's the money that would fund it. So we'll see.
Yeah, and that's really valid points, Tom, about Collins. And yeah, and my next point is George, and I know you spoke about this. And yes, there's still time, and I'm not going to panic or judge too much. But that 20 million's gone in the bank, or whether it's add-ons or whatever, and we've still not signed a player, have we, since that for a fee? So does that, is that slightly concerning you? And we're still looking to maybe offload players, even with that money in the bank, and we've not really spent a great deal either.
Yeah, I think the thing that irks me with the Collins transfer, it all seemed a bit too clean, a bit too easy. It was like one day they're interested, the next day we're shaking hands and he's on the plane to Portugal. And I'm just thinking, did we really put up that much of a fuss here? Like, I get him wanting to leave, I get us wanting to sell him, but come on, like, haggle them a bit. You know, we could have drawn that out for a week or so and you'd have thought got a bit more money. But yeah, like you say, Rich, that money's not been reinvested yet. And I think for me, I just get worried when I hear the links of Kone going and McNeil going. I think for me, the next outgoing from the club has to be the last one.
Yeah,
there's only so much turnover you can have in a summer without losing that consistency, losing that mix in the squad. I know Roberts, he said a couple of things, and not bad things in these little interviews, but he's been like, yeah, Browner's been the same. Yeah, there's been, you know, most of the lads from last year have gone, like a lot of them are gone. And, you know, I think we're really verging on that. One more outgoing and that has to be it. I'm not accepting Corney and McNeil going. I'm not accepting Corney and Taylor going. I think the next guy out the door has to be the last one. So I just hope we reinvest the money, because we're going to get a lot of money because we've got this Collins money and we're going to get either Corney or McNeil money. So I just really do hope we reinvest. But, you know, there's room to be optimistic because, like you say, Rich, we're all here thinking Huddersfield next week, like, let's get it sorted. There's 6 weeks until the transfer window ends. It is really a tough one to get your head around, but that's the case.
I think, George, that was a really great point you made there about whoever goes next. Listen, it does look like it's going to be Corney. That's going to be my next point on the pod, is that's going to be the last player. Too much. It's great getting these young lads in, but, you know, as I mentioned before, we've probably only lost 4 actual starters from last season, really. And Collins is included in one of those, who if all them 3 centre-halves are fit, he's obviously not going to play. So, you know, we've still got the basis of a good team. But if we lose too many, you know, if Taylor starts getting pulled off, then Roberts goes, you've got a whole new back four and a back 5 then with the goalie. So I thought that was a really good point. And like you said, hope there's a one way of looking at it. Obviously, Coventry, you know, seem like they're demanding 10 million for that offer, but he's not worth that, is he? You know, like, he's obviously a good player, but he doesn't get goals really, and, you know, and that's a big fault. And maybe it's not a crucial position for us. Now, going back to obviously somebody who, you know, everybody fell in love with at Burnley last year was obviously Max Corney. He was, listen, I won't say he was an absolute unbelievable, world, you know, great, great, consistent player, but God almighty, could he do something special at times? And I think his whole attitude and his demeanour, I know I'm going to bring into one more person another way. I forgot about Vegas, to be honest, didn't I? I think he was a bit, I think I just forgot about him. But, and the way he's conducted himself, it's just been fantastic. And do you think, Tom, I'll come to you. This is not whether he will go. Do you think he's that bothered about going, Carney?
I guess it's a bit different for him. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Ivory Coast qualify for the World Cup. If they did, then it's not like he's going to worry about his place in the squad, I wouldn't have thought.
No, anyway. They lost, didn't they?
Yeah. So it's a bit different for him than Vegas. I think, you know, that video that Vegas did where he kind of explained his reasons, thought fair.
Yeah, it didn't bother me, Vegas.
It wasn't a big miss, was it? Compared to Corney. So, yeah, I think with him, he's only been a year. He looks very happy where he is. You know, he's living in a nice part of the world in Manchester. I wouldn't say, I don't get the impression anyway that he's kicking and screaming, trying to get out. But at the same time, a player of his quality is too good to be playing in the Championship. And the tiny release clause that he's got, well, relatively tiny release clause that he's got, I don't think that he, you know, I don't think that he's going to realistically want to play in the Championship. Like, so that it's a different thing from wanting to leave, I think, necessarily. I don't think he's desperate to get out of Burnley, but I don't think he'll want to play in the Championship. I'll be absolutely amazed if we see him kick a ball in the Championship for us, to be honest. Even if
he's going to start next week, Tom. He's going to win it on this field.
Well, this is the thing. I think I'll get the impression that the club wouldn't be that bothered if he left. I think they'd rather have the money, to be honest. They seem to be, you know, that what made me think about that was the fact that Everton are coming in with this stupid, we'll give you a five an hour and 17 million down the line kind of deal. And they didn't seem to dismiss that out of hand. There's all sorts of like, X will pay a couple of million up front and then the rest on next season or whatever. It seems to me like, I don't know if it's that they want to get the wages off the book, if they want.
I think that's a big one. It's not just the fee, it's the wages of these players. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe they're thinking that's or maybe it's like, you know, they think he is going to go, so they've got a deal lined up with someone else and they're thinking, well, it's better, you know, it's 99% sure that someone's going to come in before the end of the window, so we might as well make sure he goes and we can get the replacement sorted. Whatever it is, I mean, obviously we'd all love to see him in the Championship, and I think you think of the amount of points he wins in the Championship, he's a brilliant player, but I think we can forget about that. I think they'd rather leave him up in the stands for the Huddersfield game and just make sure he doesn't get injured so they can cash in. And that's not a criticism, you know, maybe that's the best way to play it. Like you said, top marks to him is, you know, he's been a good influence. He's gone to all the training camps, things like that. Well, he doesn't have to do that. He could have been like Weghorst and spat his dummy out. So,
yeah,
he's the fans will still love him, I think, even if he does end up going to Everton or somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just... maybe it's me being romantic. I've just got this nice feeling of him walking out against that Huddersfield game, even if you just see him one more time. I get where you're coming from, Tom, but I'm at the essence that it's like, if he's here playing, why would you not play him? Like, say if he's here for the first two or three games of the season, we could get 6-7 points and he could score a couple of goals, which could be the difference between being up there or not. So kind of outgoings, we mentioned Weghorst, who I forgot about, to be honest. Say if Corne does go then, George, say for his release clause, which there's been a bit of debate whether he has got one, whether he's not got one. To me, 17.5 million, if he has got a release clause, I don't get why anyone's not just taking it now. That's what makes me doubt it a little bit. You know, if somebody release that, who knows? But let's say Collins for 20, Pope 10, 30, 17.5 for Corne. So that's best part of 50 million. And I don't think we've spent 10. You know, I know you've got to balance the books and we all know about, listen, obviously we have got debt. We don't know exactly how much, but you still think that there's going to be a few more plays and a, you know, and at least one big marquee kind of signing, maybe a striker with that, don't you, George?
Yeah, you'd hope so. Though I think well, Tom referred to it earlier in that there's been no links to it as someone you'd go, oh, you know what, that's them coming down and signing Andre Gray type of signing. There's been none of them links, and it's not like. And it's been a while now. You know, we've been after players for a while. We've been signing players for a while. It seems to have started to go a bit dry. The fact that we can't agree with FIFA,
yeah,
Bruggen, the fact that this whole hair deal has completely broken down. Now Borden's just reported on his end, it's completely dead. I think you're just looking at it and you're thinking, are we coming to the end of our first choice here?
It does worry you a little bit, doesn't it, when we've just sold Collins for 20 and then we maybe have to sell somebody else that we can't go in then. Whether we really, you know, agree a fee for these lads if they are first choice targets, that does concern me. Yeah, I'm not worried, but it does concern me a little.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm in your camp, Rich. I think if Corney's at the club for the Huddersfield game, I think they should and I think they will play him. I don't see why they wouldn't really. Like, I get
why would he be in Portugal? Otherwise,
exactly. He's in Portugal
and doing it all.
And you know what? Fair play to him. He's proper like. Yeah. He seems to have the right attitude. I think he'd be happy to play. You know, look, imagine a dream world. Imagine if he stayed. Like, I'm 99% certain he'll leave. But, I mean, you look at Watford, they kept Ismail Assar and he scored 13
goals.
Got him up. So,
yeah.
But I think, you know, if Corne goes, I really do think McNeil can play a similar role to us. I think if he played to the best of his abilities, he's too good for the Championship. So I think we do have to keep one of McNeil or Corney. I think it'd be ridiculous if we sold both in the same window. So either of them players, I think, will be crucial for us this season. And and will really, I think they both had poor last 6 months, but in the Championship, I think either of them would get their confidence back and flourish.
Yeah, like Corner, you know, he's still got 9 goals. I'd love to see.
Yeah, they're all in the first half, though.
Well, I'd love to see his goals to minutes to ratio, though, because he didn't actually play that much in the second half of the season, and he still scored 2 goals towards the end against Everton and Leeds, didn't he? So, but yeah, no, really good points, and we'll kind of leave that transfers for now. I think we've covered, you know, you could keep going on for ages, but I think we've, you know, we've covered a lot of it in the costs of where we're going to go, and we still expect to be busy. I think that's what Alex James is saying. And you never know with transfers, do you? Like George was saying, no, and it is right. It seems to have gone a little bit quiet. And then we signed that Matson, and look, it was literally announced a day later from the first link. So, you know, they can come out the blue sometimes, can't they? And maybe that's the reason why we pulled out of a deal with O'Hare and Verbrugge. Maybe somebody else has become available that is maybe more of an option for us. So, looking forward to Huddersfield. What are your hopes? What are your expectations? And are you going?
I'm going, yeah. I've got a ticket.
Lovely.
Difficult one to judge because I think obviously a lot's changed for us, and I think a lot's changed at Huddersfield over the summer as well. Obviously, they had a good team last year. But I think you've got to say that I don't think they'll have as good a season this season. You mentioned earlier, two of their best players have gone to Forest. The manager's gone, and I think they put the youth team coach in charge, so they haven't replaced him, you know, in that prominent with an outside appointment. So you'd have to say that that's a less imposing first game than it looked a few weeks ago. So yeah, I mean, it's going to take us time, realistically, I think, to get going. I don't think we can expect that we're going to fly out the traps and win the first 4 or 5 on the spin. So maybe a draw. I can see that one being a draw, to be honest.
Yeah, Joy, same question for you.
I couldn't get a ticket, unfortunately, and it's going to be funny because it's going to be back to sort of the days of the lockdown because, I'm at a gig that night. I'd have missed it, obviously, if I'd got a ticket, but I may as well go now. So it'll be a recording the game on Sky job, turning off all notifications. And when I get home at midnight, watching it as if it was live. Because nice. I remember in lockdown when every game was on Sky and I used to work at KFC. That's what I'd do for every game is I'd turn off everything and then record it.
That.
And watch it as live when I get home. So, yeah, so hopefully we don't lose 3-0 and I've wasted all that time. but no, my expectations for the game, I think, like you say, Huddersfield, weak side this year. I think they had a really good year and it's one of them where a manager drags a squad that isn't that good to a really good season. But they've lost 2 key players. They've lost the manager and they've just given the job to like one of these backroom staff, like the boot cleaner. So I really, if I'm thinking optimistically, I think we can go there and on Sky, put in a good performance, and it'd be like one of them where everyone comes
away. Set a marker a little bit, as Dyke would say.
Exactly, sets a marker, and everyone comes away and says, yeah, you know what, they're playing completely differently, but something clicks about it. So I'd back us to go there and win 2-0.
Yeah, I'd have loved to have gone, but I'm in Mexico actually for my honeymoon, so it's not a bad replacement, Mexico or Huddersfield. So, but I'm hope it's in 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Mexico, so. I'll see if the good lady wouldn't mind having a little venture out. I might say, oh, I'm treating you to an afternoon in Cancun and find a pub with the Clarets game on. I'm sure there'll be one somewhere knocking about. But listen, I've kind of just floated through this pre-season. I've been quite, you know, as we all are, quite busy. And this last week or so, maybe because I've finished work, I've started to get the footy juices back flowing again. You know, as obviously, being a Wigan lad, I'm really looking forward to that game on Bank Holiday weekend, but bloody hell, I hope I don't lose to him because we're planning a night out afterwards. Just kind of like last question, Tom, prediction. I know these are always hard, but where do you think we will finish? I don't need to sit on the fence. Just give me a number of where you think we'll finish.
My natural instinct is to sit on the fence, to be honest, because I think it very much depends on.
I don't want any rational thought, Tom. You rationalise this with balance. Just what your heart feels, not what your head. What does your heart say?
Okay. Well, I don't think it's a great league. So I think if we do some good business, then we've got a good chance at the top 6. If we don't, then I think up a mid-table.
Okay. That's not a number, but I'll take it from Tom.
6 is
on, to be fair. 6. Right, go on then. 6. You said playoffs. That could have been 3rd. George?
So far to go, you know what? I've not actually given this any thought until now, but I'm going to go second because, and this is very much a heart over the head.
Clubbing in practice yesterday. Yes, George.
My head's saying fourth, right? Because I'm saying, I think the first 6 months will wobble and there'll be a very much like a settling in period. I think we'll be very inconsistent. So I think we'll be hovering around 8th, 7th, 6th sort of zone at Christmas. And then I think second half of the season, once it clicks, we get back into game after game and we get on a roll. I think we can climb our way up to around 3rd or 4th. But just in my heart, there's not a chance I want to go through a playoff campaign if we're not winning it. So I want to say we'll creep our way into second and go off automatically. Yeah.
I think the other point is as well, and I made today, that you know, you look at, you know, and I really don't mean disrespectfully because, you know, I think they're both good clubs. Huddersfield got to the playoff final and Luton got to the playoffs and even Blackburn, you know, were arguably should have got playoffs. You know, they had a great run. So it is a competitive league, but there's no team. Say, like, if Everton went down with us, you think, well, Everton will probably win that league. When you know, I don't know, Fulham looked really obvious last year. I don't think there is anybody that's that obvious. Norwich, I know they signed a Brazilian lad, but they don't look as, you know, they have Buendia the last time they went up. Who else went down? Who come with us? Watford, Christ knows with Watford, and with a manager, Forest Green. I think Sheffield United and Borough are the two teams to kind of the bit of most fearful of next season. I know Tom would have actually preferred to get Wilder in, but I'm just not keen on Wilder. I think he's arrogant. But he is a good manager. I'm going to go 4th. That's the prediction I'm going to go with. But listen, I am personally looking forward to a new style of play out. I quite like that style of play. And, you know, I think it'll be quite refreshing to see some new young players and, no, just see what some of these lads are like. So, yeah, Huddersfield next Friday. You know, like I said, I'm gutted I can't be there, but Mexico is not a bad replacement. But listen, Claret, stay safe and enjoy the journey. I just want to say, as we wrap up the podcast tonight, thanks to regular podcasters, George and Tom. I know they probably enjoyed being back on. We've all enjoyed now the summer break, but hopefully get a few more podcasts in. So, cheers, gents. Thanks to George Gaskell for the music. Thanks to producer Matt, who always does an unbelievable job making what us three idiots sound very professional. But most of all, thanks to the listeners for tuning in. And let's get ready for a new season. Vincent Company's Claret and Blue Army, up the Claret.